This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
According to USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service's cattle report released on Friday, the U.S. cattle inventory is the lowest since the series began in 1973. NAS surveyed more than 10,000 operators across the U.S. during the first half of this month, asking all participating producers to report their cattle inventories as of July 1st and their calf crop for 2014. This year's calf crop is expected to be 33.6 million. Cattle on feed has decreased 6% from 2012 to 11.6 million. To view the full report, you can visit nas.usda.gov. Each year, NAS releases two official reports dedicated to corn and soybean crop acreage in the U.S. There is a third, usual update of the figures, too. The first report is a survey-only report called Prospective Plantings. It is filed at the end of March. This is followed by the acreage report at the end of June. There is also a potential update to the figures released in the October Crop Production Report. The update, says Chief of the Crops Branch for USDA NAS, Lance Honig, incorporates the acreage figures farmers file with the Farm Service Agency, or FSA.
October is really the first month that that data is really complete enough to be all that useful to us. We do monitor it beginning, well, really about now, actually, as we watch that data come in and accumulate. But until it really reaches a fairly complete level, it's hard to make too many assumptions based on that information earlier than that time.
The FSA numbers do not capture all the acres sown in the United States. However, they are a good guidepost. The June acreage report is a bit more encompassing. NAS directly contacts more than 70,000 farmers and asks them what they have planted and what they still expect to plant. It combines these results with a second area-based survey. NAS looks at 11,000 sites to see what has been sown. Honig says it's like asking an additional 40,000 farmers what they planted. It makes the NAS figures the best available, in his opinion.
We based our information on actual planting reports from more than 100,000 farmers across the country. I think that's probably the most comprehensive source of information you're going to find on acreage. Certainly, we know that seed sales and seed information is something that a lot of people follow, but I think there's always going to be some seed left over, and the question becomes how much seed was out there. If some's being returned, you don't necessarily know exactly how that translates to actual acres planted. That might just be an indication of maybe some acres that maybe at some point in time were intended to be planted, but not necessarily June the 1st.
This year, USDA NAS calculates farmers have sown 91.6 million acres of corn and 84.8 million acres of soybeans. The corn acreage is down about 4 percentage points from last year, and the soybean acreage is up 10%. On August 5th at 7 p.m., the Macoupin County Agriculture Foundation will sponsor an on-the-road seminar to discuss the changes in transportation rules and guidelines. Mark Duggar, executive director of the foundation, explains.
There has been a lot of changes in the transportation rules, regulations, guidelines, you name it, there's been changes in those things. This update, we've brought in Kevin Rund, who has been working with transportation issues for over 30 years. He does a great job with that. He's with the Illinois Farm Bureau. He's going to be in there talking about a covered farm vehicle, medical cards, OHV stamps, USDOT numbers, the unified carrier registration, just a myriad of issues that have changed over the last 6 months. I think one of these issues was passed by the legislature, stopped by the legislature, repassed, rewritten, restarted. And everybody's confused, and that's what this program is based on August the 5th at 7 p.m. at the Farm Bureau building. Kevin is going to be in there and hopefully get some of the confusion cleared up. He's going to have a lot of handouts, a lot of reading material to go back and peruse when we're done with this program, and hopefully that'll help clear up some of the confusion in these transportation issues.
Also going on August 7th at the Macoupin County Farm Bureau building is a Farm Bill seminar.
The Farm Bill, which almost didn't get passed, but then did finally get passed. The new Agricultural Act of 2014 is passed. Not many of the rules are written. It's kind of a day-to-day thing. Folks that I have talked to that working for USDA and Illinois Farm Bureau are going, it's a daily change in what is coming out. So on August 7th at 7 p.m. at the Farm Bureau building here in Carlinville. We're going to be having a Farm Bill update. Doug Yoder is going to be in town. He is with the Senior Director of Affiliate and Risk Management for Illinois Farm Bureau. Has been following this very, very closely. Hopefully by that time frame, he'll have a few more answers for everybody. We are also going to have some Macoupin County NRCS staff there with us for about a half hour, going over some of the conservation programs that have come out in this new Farm Bill. Lots of information. Again, as you say, lots of confusion over the new Farm Bill on what can we do, what can't we do, what's available, what's not available, what are our options. Doug is going to try and clear up some of that confusion. He says not everything is done yet, but it's not too early to start researching it and figuring out what you want to do.
Again, that was Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Again, the On the Road seminar will be held August 5th at 7 p.m., and the Farm Bill seminar will be held August 7th at 7 p.m. Both will be at the Farm Bureau building in Carlinville. Advance registration is required for both. To register, you can call the Farm Bureau at 217-854-2571. Hampton Seed is teaming up with Stein Seed Company to host a plot tour on Wednesday, July 30th. Myron Stein, Stein Seed's Vice President of Sales and Marketing, will be attending and will talk with growers about Stein's high population corn innovations and upcoming soybean technologies. The night will begin at Krabby's Supper Club at 6 p.m. in Carlinville, and the plot tour will follow across Route 4 from the restaurant. This Thursday, the M&M Service Company will also host their field day at their Litchfield facility. Jerry Rotman with the M&M Service Company has more.
Our Solutions for Success field day is Thursday the 31st at our Litchfield plant, and it'll go from 7:30 or 8 in the morning till lunchtime. We finish at lunch. We've got some beautiful plots, very good herbicide plots this year. It was wet up there when we planted our variety plots. They look good, but they're not as uniform as we like them to be. But our herbicide plots and all of our other plots, and we've got an extensive number of plots. And what we do there is we want to learn and we want to show our customers, our patrons, what, you know, what products do, how they perform, and what some of the options are. So it's a learning process for us as well as our patrons. We'll have an excellent speaker. We'll have a gentleman from Precision Planting there, talking about planting equipment and concerns, and many farmers understand it already, but there's always something we can learn as far as concerns that we should have as we're planting corn or soybeans.
Again, that was Jerry Rotman with the M&M Service Company. July is National Ice Cream Month, and as we wind down the days left in July, there's only a couple left to truly celebrate National Ice Cream Month. I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about how ice cream managed to get a 31-day celebration.
It has been National Ice Cream Month, and you're right, you still have a few days left, so good time to go out, and if you haven't indulged in ice cream recently, a nice time to try out maybe some new flavors.
And we should be getting some nice hot weather so that people can go out and enjoy the rest of National Ice Cream Month. Now, how did this get started? What's the origin of National Ice Cream Month?
It actually started back in 1984, and Ronald Reagan was president. He designated July as National Ice Cream Month, and he recognized ice cream was a fun and nutritious food. So that's how it got its start. And, of course, we've been celebrating ever since. And, you know, of course, we promoted a lot during July, but certainly ice cream is something that people probably nowadays enjoy year-round. And it does contribute quite a bit to the economy. The industry generates more than $21 billion in sales every year. And about 9% of all the milk that is produced by dairy farmers here in the United States is used to make ice cream.
That's a pretty decent chunk.
Yeah, I would think so.
And what would be a serving of ice cream? I know whenever people go and have some, it's a cone or a bowl, but what is a legitimate serving size?
Well, your cone idea is a pretty good serving size. If you can picture in your mind something about the size of a tennis ball, it's usually a serving is considered to be a half a cup. Now, admittedly, probably many people consume more than one serving at a sitting, or if you sometimes get out a little pint, sometimes it's easy just to start eating out of that. So, but an average serving size is considered to be a half cup.
So that's probably about just enough to fit on an ice cream cone.
Right. All right.
Very
right.
Good.
That's a good indication.
As long as you keep the serving size guidelines in your head, I imagine ice cream can fit into a healthy diet.
You know, it really can. Ice cream, of course, tastes delicious, and it does have some advantages over other typical foods that we may consider as dessert type of items. Ice cream is made from milk, and because of that, a lot of the same nutrition, the same vitamins, the same minerals that we get from a glass of milk are also found in that ice cream. And certainly for those people who are kind of watching calorie intake, you could still enjoy ice cream. There are lots of different varieties out there. You can find some that are a little bit lower in fat content or sugar content, which would be a little bit easier on the calories. But, you know, again, as long as you keep in mind that half cup serving, it's great to include it in the diet.
Right. I hear for healthy diets, just portioning your meals is really what's key.
It is. And, you know, most people are unaware of what a recommended serving size is. And we tend to have, I think, in our minds, a larger idea of what a serving should be. And when you actually look at those serving sizes, you can see that they are relatively small. And also, as we go out to eat at restaurants, oftentimes those portions are really large. And so it can be a little bit misleading for us. We think we're going to just order something and eat the entire plate, where actually we're probably consuming more than we need to.
Again, that was Joyce Vickery with the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.